Welcome back. February is Black History Month, a month set aside to honor the contributions of Black Americans and the critical role that African American citizens have played in U.S. history. And to talk about this issue from a cultural and a very personal perspective, we are joined by Miki Addison. She's the Director of Communications for Urban Family Talk. It's a division of the American Family Association. And Miki also co-hosts the show Airing the Addisons with her husband, Will. Good morning, Miki.
Good morning, Dr. Myers. Great to be with you.
And you can call me Bill. That's fine. Before we get into the importance of Black History Month, I would love for our listeners to get to know you personally. I'd like to get to know you personally as well, because we haven't met. Tell us a little bit about your own background.
Sure. Thank you for that. Well, I am married to my husband, Will, for 11 years. We have four children and one on the way. We homeschool the three oldest, and the fourth is still kind of young. We are very passionate about the things of the Lord and how that plays into how we live culturally. You know, one of the things, we were missionaries for a long time to university students. We worked with a ministry called Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship through the Assemblies of God. And so we did that for a long time. Then we planted a church, and through a series of events found ourselves working for the American Family Association. In the last 3 years, we launched a division through American Family to reach the urban community, to speak specifically to some issues that we felt had gone overlooked for a long time. There are certain things that are just sort of taboo to talk about. And unless you have a biblical worldview, you're not going to be bold enough to deal with those issues. You're talking about issues of fatherlessness, and you're talking about high rates of crime and a culture of just dependency. You know, how do we deal with that? What's the remedy for those ailments? Well, we believe that that is the word of God. And so we wanted to launch an outreach where we were already working, already planted, that would target those issues specifically. You know, during the time of the first election of President Barack Obama, we saw something that was startling, and we didn't realize that there was as much idolatry in the Black community as was revealed during that election, that people could see things that stood, you know, just, I would say, vehemently opposed to the scriptures and stood against their own convictions, but they would violate their own conscience because the person that they had an opportunity to elect was Black. You know, you can only identify that as idolatry. And so it really grieved me, and it grieved my husband. And, you know, we started thinking, you know, what can we do to really speak out and call people back to the standards of the Lord. And so we thought, well, you know what? We already have a radio outlet here. So what if we started hosting a morning show that we call the Alternative Morning Show? It's sort of like the urban show that a lot of people say that they've not heard anything like it before. We speak unapologetically to a lot of issues, and we usually have the alternative view. It's not the mainstream view, which, you know, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you've got to know that a lot of your views are going to run counter to the culture. And so we find that even in the Black community, when you are espousing Christian conviction, it's going to kind of put you on the outskirts.
Doesn't Tony Evans call his little show the Alternative View, probably for good reason?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. His ministry, I believe, that is also called the Alternative, the Urban Alternative. And it's just true, because what you find is that you are, if you will, a minority within a minority when you're calling people back to God's standards. You know, the family structure, one man, one woman married, raising kids, that's not a Western prescription for family. That is not sort of the white standard as it's been built. This is God's standard, and we find that in the Word. So when you start talking about that and you start, you know, revealing some of these lies, you know, it kind of makes you a target. You've got to have thick skin, and you've got to know that you're standing on the Word of God and not your opinion if you want to have any kind of longevity in doing that.
Now, I know, Miki, you are from New Orleans. I'm wondering, did your parents or grandparents experience the pain of racial segregation in the South, or did they grow up in the North?
No, yeah, both my mom and my dad grew up in the South. My father was from Texas. And my mother's from New Orleans. Interestingly, though, I grew up in a fatherless home. My mom and dad were married in Texas, and After some time, my father just decided that marriage was not for him, and he left. And left my mom with us kids, you know, kind of gave her a crash course in how to use a gun and told her if anybody came into the apartment to point it and shoot, but he was leaving. And so she was kind of left reeling because, you know, when you're married, and my mother loved the Lord, she was a believer. She believed that she was marrying a believer who shared her same conviction. You don't think that you're going to be raising children by yourself. And so she was left reeling, and she goes back to New Orleans where she would raise us on almost, I would say, every government program known to man. I know firsthand the impact of the government programs that are billed as helps in the Black community. They are not helpful. They are destructive to the Black community. But my mother would not raise us to be victims. And it's only the grace of God, you know, and even now, my mom had a third grade education. She says that her highest accomplishment in school was a gold star, you know. And she raised us so to fear the Lord and to seek his will for our lives. You know, she always wanted us to understand that we were born in wedlock. Even though she and my dad were divorced, it was important to her that we understood that she waited till marriage to conceive children. And so that's something that was a huge part of my life growing up. And my mom tells stories in New Orleans of, you know, sitting on the front porch and having eggs thrown at her. But, you know, interestingly, I don't have a lot of sort of those war stories that you hear as a kid growing up that would make you bitter. I didn't grow up sort of feeling like, you know, I lived in an oppressive country or I lived in a country that owed me anything. I grew up feeling that my greatest debt was to the Lord Jesus Christ, that, you know, he had paid the ultimate penalty for me to be reconciled to God. And so when you're focused on that, you understand sin. And I think my mother understood sin, and you understand that racism is sin and that it exists and whoever will subject themselves to that sin. So I have to admit, I don't have a whole lot of stories. My grandmother, who lived to be in her late 80s, grew up picking cotton in Texas, and so she tells a lot of stories about picking cotton, but interestingly, it's also where the Lord saved her. So the stories that she would tell over and over were the ones of being in the cotton field and praying while picking cotton and talking to the Lord. And so I'm actually, Bill, very grateful to have that as my background because it provided an opportunity for me to not have any animosity built up towards any one people group.
Wow. We're talking to Miki Edison. She's the Director of Communications for Urban Family Talk at the American Family Association. Miki, just talk about this. First of all, personally, as an African-American woman, why is Black History Month so important to you?
Can I say this? Now, this may be sort of a cop-out answer, Bill. I just want to say that history is important to me. And I know that it sounds maybe a little bit simplistic to say that we should just talk about history. We should talk about the achievements and the accomplishments of great Americans in the founding of our country, its establishment, and you know, every decade, every period in between. I understand why we have Black History Month, but I actually am not a proponent of having one month where you say, and now we'll look at the achievements, the contributions of Blacks in America. I think if you just look at the history timeline, it takes more effort to disregard the contributions that happen on a natural timeline and save them for February than it does to just go ahead and say, hey, listen, this is what this guy did in 1910. This happened in 1926. And everyone who contributed during that time, why not acknowledge them? I would like to, if I could for a second, I want to read a quote from Carter G. Woodson. And Carter G. Woodson, that great historian, and I would say largely credited and recognized as the father of Black History Month, believed it was important to acknowledge the contributions of Blacks in history, but not to exalt those contributions as if they were something special or different from other contributions. This is what he said. He said, we should emphasize not Negro history, but the Negro in history. What we need is not a history of selected races or nations, but the history of the world, void of national bias, race, hate, and religious prejudice. And he said, there should be no indulgence and undue eulogy of the Negro. The case of the Negro is well taken care of when it is shown how he has far influenced the development of civilization. I could not agree with him more, Bill. I think that when we just look at the timeline, we look at the continuum, we say, you know what? From this point to this point, look at what men and women were doing to make this country amazing. And I like to take the spiritual perspective. I like to say, look at how godly men contributed to history. I mean, we don't have a month of, you know, Christians in history. We have history where people, and now there are opportunities where we say, and listen, this person feared God. And so we don't neglect that. We don't take that out. But we don't have a special Christian History Month. I think the same should be true of Black History Month. Not that I'm saying we need to do away with celebrating Black contributions in America, because I understand the need for that. I understand why it's important that we have that. But for our children, what we are doing is teaching them history. And we are teaching them various histories. And so it's important that we make sure they understand when they're looking at a timeline, we're not going to exclude someone's contribution because they're of a different ethnicity, but we're also not going to exalt it as if there was something special. Now, I want to be very careful with that. While I say we want to be careful not to exalt as if there's something special, we are obligated to teach our children of our nation's past and that there was a time when in this country they were, as Black people, disregarded. There was a time when, you know, maybe your contributions would have been overlooked. So it's I think there's a delicate balance there. But what we also don't want to do is to perpetuate sort of this separate but equal mentality. I think, in fact, to have a separate month where now this is Black history, it is sort of taking us back to what we worked so hard to move away from, and it's a form of separate but equal.
Wow, that is really well said, Mickey. Many people may not know that the fight against slavery and the civil rights movement was actually led by Christian ministers. Of course, we know Dr. Martin Luther King, but many others, both Black and white, and they were concerned that slavery and discrimination were completely contrary to the way that God views human beings and how he wants us to treat each other. Can you talk a little bit about the biblical case against racial segregation and discrimination?
Who knows best the message of reconciliation than a Christian? Who better to talk about what we don't deserve and how we have no right to talk about our rights, you know, than someone who has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ? I mean, of course, the Christian should always champion reconciliation. The same is true today. Of course, the Christian should understand justice. Of course, the Christian should understand mercy and long-suffering, and the Christian should understand that through Jesus Christ, all ethnic barriers have been torn down, that there is no more Jew or Greek, slave or free. So it only stands to reason that when we're talking about the civil rights movement, at the height of the movement, we're talking about the church leading the charge for reconciliation. That's why when we talk about you know, the Christian involvement, we're talking about nonviolent protest. Why? Well, because my hope is not in my fists. My hope is not in the power of the pen. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ to compel men, to call men towards righteousness. And when we're talking about racism, man, we have to acknowledge that our country has a dark past, but we also have to acknowledge that as a young nation, we have come an incredibly long way. And so somebody has to say, to God be the glory. Only the Lord can do that. And so it was so vitally important for the church to be at the forefront of this movement.
Wow. Some powerful words from Mickey Addison. Mickey is the Director of Communications for Urban Family Talk at the American Family Association. Mickey, thank you so much for your thoughts today. You've really challenged us on several levels, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Bill.